Just a couple quick questions for me. As far as looking at the roster and what you guys have now, there's Pablo's been talking about the need for wanting to bring in a 10. What's kind of the status on that, and what are you guys continuing to look for in that?
The status of that is that we're very close to getting someone in, and hopefully we'll be able to let everyone know about that in very short order. When you say what we're looking for, you mean like the characteristics of the position, or what are you asking?
Yeah, sure. Characteristics of the position, as well as maybe the type of person that you want to bring onto this team.
Only good people. The type of person that we want to bring is someone who fits into the group. Look, I think we're looking for people that fit into the culture that we have here, that Pablo's built. We want people that care about the team, put the team in front of themselves, that work hard and that are bought in. As far as the characteristics of the position, we're looking for someone that is comfortable receiving the ball between lines and progressing it on. We're looking for someone that can make dangerous runs and stress the defense when required, and someone that can get in the box and hopefully get on the end of things and put up some goals and assists.
Real quick, I want to ask you in regards to Katranis, who just came in at the left back position. What did you guys see from him, and kind of what project was presented to him that made him want to come to Real Salt Lake?
What we saw in him was someone that we felt could run the whole line. And the way that we are looking at playing this season, the way that we wanted to change the tactics and the style of play, we felt we needed a left back that could contribute both in both final thirds, essentially. Someone who could get forward and be dangerous and put balls in the box, and someone who'd also then recover and get into good positions defensively and help us out on that end as well. So I think he's someone that has shown that he can get up and down and do good things. He's mentally tuned in and alert. He knows when there's danger, essentially. Like, I don't know if the right way to say that is, like, he's got an alarm bell in his head. It's like, oh, yep, now it's time to get back, right? So those were important things that we looked at. We think he's got good feet. We think he can deliver a good ball into the box. We think he reads the game pretty well. And again, like I said, he can get up and down the line and play the whole thing.
Awesome. Thank you, Kurt.
No problem.
Go ahead, Sean.
This is kind of a weird question, Kurt, but I'm not really sure who else to ask it to. And it's not necessarily like a Pablo question per se. So maybe you can kind of shed some light on us, because it's obviously not ideal to have your multi-million dollar striker like Chicho away from the team even during preseason, although he's enough of a veteran that he probably didn't miss too much of a beat. But how important was it for him to be able to finalize everything with the paperwork to and kind of from this team perspective, it feels like what he was able to do legally, naturalizationally, I guess, can kind of help you guys out, I guess, in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I think getting this finalized was important to Chicho and his family, and gives them a phenomenal opportunity just in life. But it's also obviously important to us as a team, which is why we were willing to, sacrifice that time to make sure it got sorted out. Him being a domestic player for us is very important in terms of how we build the roster going forward. So that was something that I think benefits all parties. It wasn't it's always a little bit of a grab bag sometimes when you're dealing with immigration and the government and how quickly or slowly things can move. When we got into that situation, we felt that Chicho would probably be able to join either at the beginning of preseason or shortly after. And it was just, bogged down in paperwork and logistics and a lot of other important business that the embassies have to do, that things took as long as they did. But we're putting that behind us now, and it's not ideal, like you said, to be missing someone like that for that period of time, but we've got him in here now. He's a quality player and he's going to add a lot to the group. And it's important now that he's starting to learn and pick up the shift in tactics and what we're trying to do this year.
And then when what was kind of you touched on this a little bit earlier, before you started to look at your current international lineup and Alex you touched on and that sort of thing. But what's kind of been your sort of the number one thing that's kind of jumped out at you as you visited a couple of different prospects and a couple of different looks and that sort of thing, looking overseas in Europe, and just sort of that mentality of finding that diamond in the rough, I guess, in European circles, as opposed to maybe searching around ML, well, or the lower divisions, USL, that sort of thing. Like, what have you kind of been noticing about the types of players that you guys are mining, I guess, over there?
I think we're mining good players. At least I hope so. That's my thought. But look, I think when you talk about USL, there's been a growing separation, I think, between MLS and USL, and also between USL and USL League One and Next Pro and how all those things fit in. Like, it's not quite clear just yet. But I think as more money has come into MLS, I think the separation between MLS and USL has grown. I don't think it's, I don't think it's expanding at an amazingly alarming rate necessarily, because I think USL teams are putting more money in as well. And they're able to, I think, pick off guys that might end up being on the bottom of our roster, because even though our minimum salary's gone up, they maybe still can pay more, or let guys play more. So, but even though the level has been separating a bit, or is a big jump from USL to MLS, I think that when you look at guys like Diego and Fidel, if you can, if you find a young guy who's able to step into that environment with grown men that are, putting food on the table and compete and succeed at that level, I think it's a really good indicator that you've got something. And not every player maybe that does that is going to translate and go become a superstar or anything like that. But I think that it gives you an indication that here's a player at a young age that can handle himself in a league that is physical and with players that are more mature and physical than they are. And if they can do that, then the odds that they can step up a level are higher. In recruitment, you're really talking about, sorry, in scouting recruitment, you're really talking about like risk mitigation with some of these things. And, the risk of a signing not working out, we can decrease the risk of a 17, 18-year-old not working out if we see that he's had success at a first team professional level against players that are more physically and even otherwise mature than they are. So that's that. And then, in regards to, Alex or Europe generally, I think, obviously we spent a lot of time in South America over the past couple windows, and we signed a lot of players from South America. And so, it's in MLS, I think it's always important in the years that I've been in the league to keep a good balance of sort of, Americans, Europeans, and South Americans, and people that, come from different backgrounds. And you kind of don't want to, it's a very, it's not a very homogenous league, this league. It is a lot of mix and mixes of styles and cultures. And I think it's important. It was important that we look a little bit in Europe as well, and we don't ignore any part of the world when we recruit, so we keep the balance of the team right.
I really like that last part about balancing the team, and I didn't think about that as much about how focused you guys have been on South America, as opposed to Europe the last couple of years. So that's a really good point, I think, that you brought up. And so I got to just finish off with a capital J journalism question for my very last one, and then I'll pass you along. Have you able to have a nap recently after all the time zone changes that you've been through?
No, I actually don't nap very well. So no, I have not napped. I've slept more than I probably should have on planes, and I owe that to my wife giving me some like melatonin pills. So that's been helpful. But no, I don't really nap very well, but I'm hoping I get some sleep on planes when I get there.
Hey Kurt, before we get to Johnny talking about the balance and change, I was wondering, with the first what 5 weeks or whatever it is of preseason kind of under the belt, can you talk about the coaching staff changes and how Anthony, Nate, Hamison, Mirza, Chapo, everybody have kind of integrated into Pablo's group and maybe also, what kind of changes or differences have you seen in how Pablo's running things?
Sure. I think that it's still, just like it's early in preseason for the players, it's still early for the staff. And I think that they've got a good working rhythm and flow, but they are still kind of settling into it. I mean, we just talked about it the other day before the Brumby game is, we hadn't really done pregame warm up and like what that looks like for them and who takes what and what are we doing and how we're going to change it, those sorts of things. And so settling into those like rhythms and routines is still something that's happening. Sean's been great. His ability to speak Spanish and communicate with the English and Spanish speakers in the locker room, has been super useful in terms of keeping everyone bought in and engaged with the gym and the fitness side of things, which is sometimes a difficult thing to wrangle, but he's got a really good skill set to be able to do that and connect with players. Ant and Nate have done a great job of settling in as quick as possible, even though it's still a work in progress. But a division of labor and responsibilities that's been really good. And organizing how they work together and off of each other and support each other, that's been very positive. Along with Olave and Joel, and then Mirza. I don't ever worry about Mirza with the goalkeepers. I think he always does a great job there. And I think that they've brought a lot of intensity and energy in the training sessions, which has been a real positive. I think it's changed up obviously what we do in trainings. We're not doing the guys that have been here for a couple of years, we're not doing the same things obviously anymore. And so I think that's created a little bit of an increased buzz and alertness and awareness in training, which has been a real positive. So yeah, I think the new staff has been a real positive so far, and I'm excited to see them. I think it's only going to get better as they get to know each other better and get to know the players better, and honestly get to work with some of the guys that haven't quite been here as long, like Chicho and Andreas and Nelson and these guys. So I'm really encouraged by how things are going.
Awesome. Thank you. Johnny, you're up.
Hey, Kurt. Hope you're enjoying sunny Portugal. My question for you is, I know many will say that, preseason is all about building fitness, kind of laying down tactical ideas and not as much about, maybe performance. But who have you seen that's kind of stood out to you so far first through these, trainings and first two games? And any surprises, anyone that's kind of impressed you from the player side?
Good question. Who has impressed me? I don't want to say it who impressed me. That sounds like egotistical, like I'm the only barometer. But who's played well? I mean, I think Fidel has had some really good moments. When he's gotten on the ball, he's able to do some really good things individually, 1v1 defensively. He's got a good eye for the pass, he can shoot well. We've played him both a little bit more centrally and a little bit more wide, so trying to feel out where he's going to have the biggest impact. I think Vera has been very solid so far, as we've sort of come to expect from him. Who else has done well? I don't want to. Yeah, I mean, look, I think some of these guys are just getting into it. Like Alex just had a few minutes. Pablo Ruiz a few minutes. I think Diego's coming out of national team camp, and he was really, really fired up when he first got back. And I think he's had some good moments as well. Chicho just got here. Yeah, I mean, I think some guys, some surprises. I think we've had a couple Monarchs guys, and some Monarchs guys and some young players do really well. The two guys have been playing in the pivot, in sort of the second group behind Emeka and Ojeda have done really well. Aiden Hrzekani from the academy has shown well, coming from where he's coming from. I think for a young kid, he's come in and not really backed down. Gav made some good saves the other day. Zach looked sharp in his minutes coming back from injury. Trying to think of who else. Gozo, I think Gozo's been very, very coachable and is coming along as well, is learning every day. Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully that gets everybody.
Awesome. Thanks. Thanks, Kurt. And then my last question for you is just how has this preseason experience been for you in your new role?
I don't think my new role has anything to do with how I'm experiencing preseason. but it's been fine. I think I'll be happy to get a couple of these deals over the line and get things done and settle that up. But yeah, I don't think it has a lot to do with new role and how I'm experiencing preseason, but just happy to get the roster set up and settled and go into the season.
Awesome. Thanks, Kurt.
No problem.
Hey, Kurt, listening to you kind of talk about some of those guys, and it's weird. Like, in my mind, I guess I sort of forgot about Vera. Like, for guys like him who were acquired last year, spent a lot of last year sort of adjusting. You mentioned Chicho, obviously Nelson, Andres. What do you, I guess, are expectations higher, or is there just like a comfort level with everything kind of off the field that will allow kind of those guys going into their second full year with us or second year period, an opportunity to sort of escalate things because they're not adjusting or assimilating anymore?
I mean, yeah, like, look, we've brought a lot of young players in over the past couple windows. I mean, why do you do that? Like, everyone seems to think it's a good idea to do that, and then nobody seems to remember why. It's a good idea to bring in young players because they get better each year in theory, and we hope that we've worked with them and developed them to the point. And I think when you look at some of the young players we've had, they were a lot better at the end of the season than the beginning of the season, right? And whether that's coaching or experience in the league or adjustment to the style of play or the speed of play or being settled off the field or a combination of all those things, those things can help a player really thrive going forward. So yeah, we expect a lot of those young guys to whichever of those factors is the most impactful on each one, but we expect those guys to take a step in their level and their performances going forward and think that they can do that. I mean, that's why we brought them in. That's why we bought, some of them. And we think it's something that where we can rely on them a bit more as they've grown into their roles in the team.
I guess last question from me, does it break your brain or do you feel pressure when you kind of contrast opening day in Miami is 2 weeks from today, but the 2024 season is three competitions over the next 10 and a half, 11 months, because I think MLS Cup is 11 months away. So how do And maybe you don't care about that stuff. You just know we're going to have a bunch of games and different competitions, and guys are going to be in and out, and they're going to go from RSL to Academy to Royals and back and forth and all the, sorry, Monarchs and all that kind of stuff. So I guess how do you sort of consume all that? Are you feeling any pressure for the first of the season being 2 weeks away? Or is it just, hey, we know we got a lot of games ahead of us, and we'll have certain guys in and certain guys out because of injury or immigration or form or whatever.
Yeah, I think like the pressure to start the season is always there because you've been off for so long and everyone is happy and feels good in preseason always. And then the first game of the season, things get real and things count and it's important. And so there's always a switch that flips. And I think, yeah, there is that pressure there. We know that's coming. I know that's coming. And it's exciting, but it's also, the realization or the acknowledgement that, yeah, this is coming and things are going to start to count soon, right? You can't, good performances that end in losses are, those are no long, moral victories don't count for anything in a couple of weeks. So that's all fine. As far as the competitions, look, like last year, I like our depth and I think we've brought a lot of guys back. Again, like I think we have a lot of good young guys that are, that are coming through. I like our depth this year as I did last year. I thought last year we utilized it really well. Pablo utilized it really well across all the competitions. And I think that we should be able to do the same thing this year when needed. So I don't look at it and think, oh my gosh, everyone's going to play 50 or 60 games. No, because I think we're going to rotate the squad enough, at times, and we're going to get to see some exciting young players, in their first minutes at some point this year. We're going to get to see, some guys get little glimpses of guys and see what's to come going forward. So I think that's always exciting to see, when you watch Monarchs, you see those guys. When you watch sometimes a reserve game, like in preseason, you can see those guys. But I think it's great when you can see them mixed in with, some of the first team guys and see what they can do in that type of environment is always interesting. So I just view that as interesting and exciting. And I'm pretty happy with our depth. I mean, we've been playing most of preseason with our depth and while missing some guys. So I'm not I have no brain breakage over the number of games, Trey.
What did you hear about the experiences that Nelson and Andres had over the last, what, five, six, maybe even longer weeks with Colombia, both the senior team and the Olympic team, and how do you, what are you expecting from them when they join the group next week?
Good question. I haven't had an in-depth conversation with either of them about their experiences. Pablo had spent some time with them recently and gone through some of that. And I think, he or they obviously could tell you more about what their experiences were directly in terms of, playing with that group versus our group or the full national team or whatever that may be. But I think, looking at it, I mean, Andreas did, I think, pretty well from the standpoint of the 23s and the games he got with the full team. And I think he's going to come in with some confidence. And I think he was a player that had confidence last year. And so I think he's probably going to come in, pretty engaged and feeling good. And he's got a little bit of a knock that he got at the end of the tournament, but we think he'll be back relatively soon. And then yeah, Nelson was able to take on a bit of a leadership role with the that young group in the 23s. And I think, from talking to their coach as well, like he was an important member of their group, and I think that responsibility and experience is good for him growing forward and maturing and hopefully taking on some of that role, with us at different points.
Whenever I say last question, it means there's like three more. You talked about depth. Pablo talks a lot about the depth we used last year, right? 32 different guys making first team appearances across all competitions. Obviously, we had a great run in the Open Cup, a great summer where I think we, lost what, four times out of 25 games at one point. Pablo's also been pretty adamant that whatever happened last year, it was last year, and you don't just pick up where you left off, you have to start back down from zero. Does that philosophy make it, I guess, a little easier to assuage maybe concerns about replacing the goals that have left, the goals and assists, the goal creation, goal contributions, I should say, from Sava and Demir and Danny and Rubio? And it's just a whole new year and a whole new group, and obviously increased expectations on Diego and Andres and Chicho and Julio and whoever else is going to be contributing to that attack.
Yeah, well, look, Pablo's right. Preseason is a big, or sorry, the off season is a big break, and teams don't just go from the last game of the year into the first game of the next year and don't miss a beat. Like, a lot happens in that time, and you are starting again from zero, and it's always, what have you done for me lately? So that is correct. Trey, why do people always ask about how we're going to place the goals, but not how we are going to replace the expected goals? Why is that?
Because nobody understands expected goals, and every website has a different model and a different number.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think that we again bought some young players that we think are going to step up, and I obviously we have Chicho for a full season, and we're bringing in another good attacking piece that we think can chip in with some goals and assists, and we expect Increased contributions from guys like Diego and Andreas, and I think Fidel comes in and takes a role, and maybe he gets some as well. And I thought Justin Glad did a good job of getting some goals last year as well. And so I think that it's not so much about replacing that those goals as it is just about, okay, this is the group we have now. How are we going to manufacture goals? Right? Are we gonna score like this? Are we gonna score like that? Are we gonna be a set piece team? Are we gonna just hope, lump the ball into the center forward and hope he does things all on his own? Like, it's just about, this is our group now. Like, it doesn't matter what the group was last year and what they did, but this is the group we have now. How are we gonna put the ball in the back of the net? And so that's what the coaches are working on, and that's irrespective of what happened last year.
Do you have any general thoughts? This really is my last question about the tactical switch. I mean, Pablo has tried to explain it to us in a few recent sessions about the 4-2-3-1 and what's expected of a wing back and who goes in and out and Diego in a free role and people playing underneath Chicho and all that stuff. Just how do you think that advancement or that switch makes us, I guess, maybe more diverse tactically or dangerous in terms of changing on the fly in game from what a lot of guys were used to playing last year and maybe even the year before?
So for sure, I'll leave it to Pablo to explain all the nitty-gritty of the tactics, since that's his job and that's what he's working on with the team and the coaches and all that. But yeah, look, we're looking to build in a different way than we did last year. We want to build with three in the back and in possession, look like essentially like a 3-2-4-1, and have the two pivots inside in front of the three center backs or the three defenders, push our fullback high, have our one other winger stay wide and high, and have one winger tuck in underneath and have our number 10 drop in underneath to the other side. So, that's kind of what we're trying to do in possession as we build, and need to create through that setup. And so, yeah, I don't know, free rolls and these things, right? Like, it's all about like that system and even how we build and those tactics. The only important thing is that we try to highlight and accentuate the strengths of the players that we have, right? So that's what we think can do that. If at any point we don't think that's going to work with this group, then yeah, maybe we'll change it. But I think it gives us a structure and yeah, I guess a structure to fall back on. And if we can, you're almost programming it into the players so that in the game, you're not taking decisions away from them, but you're making decisions easier, if that makes sense. And so if they know, like, okay, I'm supposed to be here when the ball's here, in this situation I do this, when the ball goes here I do that, you're giving them essentially a blueprint. And it's still a very free-flowing game. In a game where players need to solve problems on the field, but you try to give them as many solutions as you can before the game in training, so that they aren't going through an infinite list of solutions when they presented with a problem, but maybe they've got four solutions and they pick the best one of those, and that simplifies the game for them and hopefully lets them shine with their individual ability.
You brought up XG a minute ago. Is it similar with tactics where, like Bruce Arena says, formations is just what you line up with at the beginning of each half, and the rest of the game is, three players in spaces or triangles or philosophies or pressing or all the other things. Do you feel like we should be talking more about philosophies and tactical, I guess, miniature versions of it, as opposed to getting caught up in 4-4-2, diamond, flat, bucket, blah, blah,
Yes.
blah.
No, nobody should get caught up talking about formations. That is a fool's errand. But yeah, I mean, it's to some degree it's correct, right? There, a team could line up in a, you know, in a in a in a in a 5-3-2, and every time they get the ball into the attacking box, they get three, four runners in. And then another team might line up in a 4-3-3, but every time they get the ball in the box, there's zero or one runner. And so one formation is in theory defensive, one's attacking, but in which setup are you more dangerous? So it's kind of irrelevant what is drawn up on the TV screen or the piece of paper before the game, but it's more about what you're doing. How are you gonna create chances and score goals? What again, the solutions that you're giving to players. So that's more important, and that you're highlighting the players' strengths. That's all you're doing. Like you're putting someone in a position where this is your starting point, but everything after this is up to you, really. And here are some options, but this is your choice. And yeah, the formations, don't get caught up in formations. There's a couple things that you can do formationally that do shift, what a player needs to think about. But yeah, largely it's like, look, this is the starting point. After this, you've got to make the decision and figure things out.
Awesome. Kurt, thanks so much for your time today. If no one else has any questions, we'll let you go. Oh, somebody did raise their hand. Johnny?
Just Johnny.
Oh boy, it's me. And I'm just going to prolong this one
Nice.
last question. I know, just kind of taking after Trey here. Sorry, Kurt. You mentioned about highlighting players' strengths and, a bunch of great answers about formations and tactical philosophies. I wanted to talk about Andrew Brody a little bit. This season, I talked to him in, his pre-media day presser about just kind of how he was excited about pushing forward a little bit more. And I guess in my mind, just when I see Brody, I always think of him, at his best when he is kind of in that wing back role and he's able to cut inside going forward. Is that kind of maybe another way that we've thought about maybe changing the tactical philosophy is like also just kind of get, like you mentioned, getting our fullbacks forward. But do you think this will also help Andrew maybe have a better season this year?
I would say that we're not gearing the team's sort of tactical approach to one player, whether that's Brody or anybody else. I think yeah, there's roles within this setup that will really suit what Brody brings to the table. I think he's shown that in training, and I think he's going to continue to show that. So it just depends on how we see matchups and lineups, how the coach sees his performance in training in terms of where he's going to play and how it helps the team the most. But I do think there's a couple roles in this setup that really suit, I think, his strengths. And like you, it's a couple, I'm looking like 3 years ago when he first kind of broke in, he was at his best when he was carrying the ball off the dribble, breaking lines, cutting defenders out of the game, and then slipping balls and getting into the final third. I don't know that he did that quite as much in the last season, and it's something that we talked a little bit about in his postseason meeting. And I think he's worked really hard in the offseason, and he's been training really well, and something that I think we've seen even a little bit more of in the two preseason games. And so it's good to see.
Awesome. Thanks, Kurt.
No
All
problem.
right, guys. Thanks, everybody. Thank you, Kurt.